This is James Robertson, Syncom Smalltalk Product Evangelist, bringing you another talk from the European Smalltalk Users Group meeting held in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in August of 2008. Let's pretend that this is real. Let's say this really. Here's a meta-modeling panel from ESOG 2008 with Lucas Ringley, Matthew van Echtelt, Adrian Kuhn, and Thies van der Storm.
Just put on the screen our names so that when you address the question to us, that you know if you can address it. And we have some suggestions for possible, hopefully controversial topics that we could discuss. If you from the audience have other suggestions what we could address or not to order or raise your hand or yell.
I would like to see maybe a comparison between various systems on rather high levels. My first question would be to describe various systems in terms of their capabilities of round trip engineering.
Comparison of the systems.
And round trip engineering is one of the questions.
Well, I think the system that is most different is
Just another question you can throw in. Back in 2005, in the design discussions, I threw in the discussion of handling collection, the collection class hierarchy inside the metadata hierarchy. Now, people may feel that was talked to death in 2005, but I'd be very happy to get the panel's take on that, or simply a summary of how their systems do it.
Okay.
Just fitting the collection hierarchy into a metadata framework.
Yeah, I guess the system that is most different is obviously yours.
Let's start with round trip engineering. It's a bit weird to talk about round trip engineering. I mean, in our system, you transform one source code to another, and round trip engineering would be that you change the other source code and transform it back. So in this case, this would basically mean decompilation. That's possible or not, it depends on the circumstances. There is no basic support for it at all, because, well, you can't just invert transformations, for example. It's not a possibility. So for that reason, it's not supported, but we think it's also a very bad style to modify something that's generated. So, if you generate codes, you should keep your hands off it or change it.
Usually there's some way to integrate handwritten code, because usually you cannot generate 100%, so you use subclasses or something like that.
Now those are both techniques that you could use to weave in somehow the handwritten code. What you also could do is at the meter level, try to establish this integration and then just take the handwritten code as input to the transformation process, so that the generator basically performs the weaving.
One by one, that's the same question.
Oh, well, I already have something in the comment on what he said. When you say degenerate the code, and then you would update the generated code, and it should update the source. That just reminds me of the lenses and the boomerang or harmony language. These lenses are kind of two-way transformations.
Lenses are a way to formalize reversible transformations.
But
the name in itself already says that it's less expressive than arbitrary. So you can't do everything with lenses. So first it's harder, because you have to stick with the lens framework. And secondly, you can't express everything. It's the same with updatable views in databases. So the view query, and you can update some stuff, but it doesn't always work. And our transformation language is Turing complete, so that won't always work.
But maybe for engineering, it's just good enough.
I think that we can.
I will try to answer first Reinhard's question. I have two answers, depending if I understand the question correctly. First of all, same as Thijs, we have descriptions that generate codes. If you change the code, the descriptions won't be changed. I mean, that's round trip engineering. And also, funny, I mean, it's funny that they make the descriptions also, the description is completely regenerated. So if you write and make mistakes, or you make things that are already that are set by default, that are thrown out. If you put in the description, you set your own instance variable, for example, because it's not accepted, it writes its own. So well, you write the description, and the rest is generated. I also understand it in a different way, round trip engineering. For us, it's also when we have a round trip, for example, if we make another field, we have a user interface, application code, and database. I also thought maybe that's the question you are asking.
First one, so maybe I should clarify that one of the aspects I'm looking at is how far can you retrofit your models across the software? And then you already need something either manually.
Or we only have one greenfield project, well actually three, status ready and well the two are no legacy.
Well I think round tripping doesn't apply to mapping much because these are all just objects living in your image, so you have to take care that you store them somewhere, either just in your image or in a database. But they are all just there and you can inspect them, change them.
So, but then when you refer to applied in the legacy system, I mean, what's often done, and we initially used FAME and MSE to exchange models with other researchers in the field of software analysis. We initially used the FAME with Moose, and then usually what the other researchers did in their tools, they can just, for example, have a Java implementation, then they just add the annotations. And fire up your framework and then can export it, at least an MSD file, so that we can use it. So that's the bootstrapping. If you have a legacy application, you start with annotations.
I was just wondering about Magritte. When the user adds the to-do field, which goes in a dictionary, later on, of course, you might decide, I really want that field, so I'm going to make it an instvar and have the Magritte describing that instvar. So that would presumably be the round tripping, which presumably would be done by hand at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to make that a native field, you would need to write a visitor that walks over the description and serializes it to small but code.
Yeah, and presumably that would be a quite doable thing. I mean, I'm assuming it's not done, but I mean, to map those fields into instvars and to serialize into Smalltalk code the Magritte objects for them. Yeah.
That should be very easy. Yeah. I've never done that, though.
Feature not implementable.
Was quite from the beginning against code generation. Also, it's technically possible. Basically, because I implemented essentially, so Magritte came from Peer Content Management System. And I made some comparison in the execution speed. And the predecessor of Peer was SmallWiki, which essentially implemented the same functionality, but without any meta model. It hard-coded everything, so all the fields were just statically set. The GUI rendering was statically set. And I set up a scenario where there were the same features active, and I run some benchmarks on both systems. And Peer is only 30% slower, even so it uses the full reflective and meta description system of one. So I thought that's not worth the trouble to generate code for at least 30%.
But certainly Magritte, I mean, I've seen the same thing in Glorp, that the active Glorp actually creates objects. But, of course, nothing is more straightforward than to, you know, change it via the web and so on in much the way you would with Magritte, and then say, all right, well, I now want to put that back into my code, please, because that's actually my correction to my system. So, you know, if I wrote the original in code, why wouldn't I want the corrections in code? And you just do that. And
yeah.
It serializes out the method, and it's as if you'd gone and edited your method and changed it.
Code generation becomes interesting. I mean, it's fame as it is in Smalltalk, and of course the Java version cannot generate classes at runtime, so I simulate everything with hash tables.
Mm.
And as long as you have a fully meta-described application, where you only work by accessing the whole using the whole meta-machinery, it does not matter where you generate code or not. But as soon as you want to mix some meta-run code with some handwritten code,
yeah,
then there must be methods for that. I mean, that field. Otherwise, you just have to access some dictionaries. So when you mix code with handwritten code, then code generation becomes important. And
yeah,
otherwise, what's the difference between a smaller class and a hash table and a better one?
But that's often where the actual application value comes, because your meta solution is great for part of it, but solving the full meta problem is really hard. So if you're in a real world application, you've got to be producing some of that hand code.
We have formed a main collection class that we implemented. It's strange from a single collection, only one element, a word collection, a matrix collection, a dictionary collection. We have to re-implement those because of, to automate some parts, like for example, the change mechanism, change the arrays, or also to set integrity rules, like we have a relation from the person to organization that automatically. Organization also has a collection of the back ref and the reference back to the person and to make all kinds of optimization. So I don't know if it answers your question, but we have.
That answers the question very clearly. I'd like to hear what everyone says.
With fame, if you have a multi valued property, it's obviously a collection. At the moment, all collections are assumed to be ordered,
mm-hmm,
and are assumed to contain unique elements only. So it's actually ordered sets. It's just an assumption that we made, and so far all clients have been happy with that. And also the slots, they are actually a subclass of a collection that overrides add and remove. Because when you ask getter for a multi-valued property, you get back an active collection, and if you add and remove, the opposite end and everything is up.
I mean, important to add also that the collection hierarchy is kind of wrappers. So it has a lot of methods, but also has a connection to the standards.
Magritte, this is solved through this one-to-many description. There is just two properties essentially, one if it's ordered or not, and one if it's unique or not. And this sort of determines what kind of collection is this, that's it.
Use the code
transfer.
The same as in EMF.
Yes, that was probably sort of inspired by that.
So, I mean, would it be fair to say that in all cases you've gone for effectively re-implementing the hierarchy? You have to have a collection class that's a subclass of your meta class.
No, I instantiate the normal Smalltalk collection.
Ah, right, okay. And that's living inside a completely generic Magritte object, not inside a collection-specific Magritte object.
But as I said in my presentation, it's in some cases also the automatic building of user interfaces starts to be quite complicated if there are complex relations between objects. So often I found myself to do that by hand.
Okay. Do you see any connection between that and the fact that you were using normal collections rather than meta collections, rather than specialized?
Yeah, could be.
Okay, I'm interested because, I mean, I what Mathieu said is exactly what I was expecting to hear. I think that's the normal way to go when you start, but then you suddenly realize, hey, I've effectively duplicated the collection class hierarchy, and so one doesn't want to do that. So I'm just interested to know if anyone's found really good solutions for that.
Yeah, and the new collection hierarchy is sort of not a real solution too, because
far from,
you also have maybe code that doesn't use your framework at all, or should be aware of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. You don't want to do that.
The collection hierarchy would offer hooks for element removed and element added. I could just reuse it. Because actually that's what's missing, that's why I have my own subclass, because I need to get informed of it.
But your subclass is a subclass of collection, it's not a subclass of specific concrete subclasses of collection.
No, it's just subclass order collection.
Right, okay. And do you subclass dictionary as well?
No, we don't have any support for dictionaries in fact.
Yeah, so that's what you mean. At the moment you're just... That's one way to avoid the problem, just to say every order collection is of one kind, and then you get the best of both worlds. But, of course, you can't have, presumably, dictionaries in your meta system.
Change
for
one bit.
Just
so you decide on whether you want to have a nice handcrafted presentation for the mechanical presentation on how scalable your development process is to be.
If you have only, you know, you have an application 10 pages, maybe should be handcrafted. After 100, maybe you start to complain. After 500, you're going to yell, I can't maintain it anymore.
And also, when you say handcrafted user interfaces, I think those will kind of talk is this question here. I mean, what's the context of this Madrid or Fame or also your things? We have a different assumption, we have a certain assumption, and all the same, more or less, about the structure of the data. It's more or less, it's relational business data. And it's not like something complex data, you know, that requires a special UI. It's just, more often, it's just tables that we fill in, or forms that we fill in with some values that are linked to each other in some way. I mean, to fill in a form, I don't need a special UI.
Yeah, I think that's also why the Madrid Seaside plugin is so successful, because people can just add a field there and do the rest automatically or combine two forms in some ways. It's, I think, the surrounding thing that needs to be a bit powerful as well to make it really useful and adaptive to the needs of your customers.
Maybe we also need a good word for the assumptions, right? We start MBA, we have to accept the assumptions that you need a login, that you have contracts, etc., that's a blue, and then you only have to put in a few intentions, and it's there. But if it doesn't fit, you shouldn't do it.
But you could do frameworks, like abstract it away into some components and just reuse them. Okay, a database is one argument. Okay, you have a uniform technology, so the easiest way to get a uniform UI for this uniform technology. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah.
It's also, because it's all the same, it's also very consistent. It helps people, our customers, when we have a new functionality. Hey, that's exactly what works in a lot of forms. There's so much consistency. It's not actually a feature, it's just only the way it can be. That way or no way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how about your system, but at least for Fame or Madrid, it's not closed. You could always put somewhere in your own code.
Yeah.
You could just, for example, make a seaside page or just something that also accesses the same objects with the same meta-described objects and just, because maybe in one out of 100 cases you need a custom UI. Mm-hmm.
I do think that in all use cases, consequence of raising a level of abstraction, you lose flexibility.
Yeah.
In these cases, this might not be a problem. But
it might not be a game.
Yeah, because with your higher abstraction levels, you can be more predictive and you have less boilerplate and so on.
Yeah. I have three, not really a question, more comments. I have done quite a few finance on non-driven engineering, architecture, and so on. And each time the list of topics raised, they were completely different than the one that I can see right now. So I was wondering whether the fact that your model actually expressed within a self-reflexive individual language, I was wondering whether there are some, doesn't make this model or something very special that the other language maybe didn't get, or maybe it's wrong, I don't know. But have you, no, what do you wish the description of the meta-modeling framework? Are you astonished from the... I don't know, is that something that when you see the framework that you really see, okay, it's more like, yeah, this is where you don't, yeah, I'm not able to make it.
If I understand your question well, more answers. First of all, that Thijs and I are sitting in the same panel explains that model-driven engineering design, architecture, or domain-driven is quite broad. Mm-hmm. We sit in the same channel, there's a lot of people who could sit in between of us. That's one. Second, I think Oscar, I think adaptive object model raised 10, 15, 20 years ago, as much in common as we are doing. We just need meta information, and then you have capability to analyze and restructuring and automating the things you're doing. Actually, meta-driven design is only automating what software developers are doing. Actually, what we're trying to sell to other companies are putting on ourselves. Like, just like a bookkeeping system, you need meta information about bookkeeping, you don't do that in Word, just have made some information about the source code descriptions. Yeah. That's really
Java, and it actually does exactly the same. So there's not some magic thing done by FAME that can only be done in Sumato. Of course, the Java version does not connect the meta models to classes, but to some hash tables. But if you have a fully meta-driven application, it just boils down to the same. So the version of the Java does not have less features.
Yeah, so for Market, I only see one single problem, and these are plus extensions. For example, you have them now in C-sharp, so that's not really an issue. You don't have them in Java yet, but not really. That's a problem if you want the really full extensibility. You really want to be able to extend an object from a totally different package. Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that talk from ESUG 2008, held in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in August of 2008. If you did, head on over to syncomsmalltalk.com and check out the podcast area. We have a weekly podcast and lots more content where this came from. You can also send feedback to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com. You can head on over to the Industry Misinterpretations group on Facebook, the Smalltalkers group at Ning. You can head on over to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. And of course, you can go to Podcast Alley and cast a vote for us.